I want y'all to just sit down where you're at, because I'm going to read this. And it is no evident that God set up this service. I didn't set this up. Mike didn't set this up. Doug didn't set this up. But the Spirit of God did. Because I don't want just another Sunday night for us to come in and us to go out the same in business as usual, for us to be lukewarm and satisfied at the Holy Church of God. Because if we all be honest and look in the mirror, we've all kind of been lukewarm and satisfied. Myself included. That's one thing about me, is I always include myself. I never just, oh, Doug, you're worthless, blah, 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 blah. That'd be the wrong spirit to have. I'm glad that Jesus, you know, if we just sit back and look at the life of Jesus and how he dealt with things, my, things would be different. I mean, you know, them judgmental people that wanted to stone the woman caught in the act of adultery. That's many of us Christians sitting in this room. We all point the finger, but Jesus began to write something in the sand and forgave the woman. And how we need to forgive one another. And how we need to be, how we need to let brotherly love continue in us. Let it continue in us. Hallelujah. But I want to talk tonight just for a few moments, because it's already 7:15. And I don't have that many scriptures, but I want to read them, because I want to talk about the coming of the Lord, because Jesus is coming. He's coming very, very soon. And it is no evident that we sing songs about his coming. It is no evident that Mike talked about his coming. I didn't talk to Mike about tonight's service. I talked to Jesus on my face over in the portable about tonight's service, because I wanted it to be different. I wanted it to be unique. I expect God to show up, and I expect God to move, because that's the type of God that I serve. I serve a great, big, wonderful God. A great, big, wonderful God. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this. You don't have to turn there. If y'all will turn to Matthew 24, we might read that whole chapter. I don't know. But I've just got to obey the Lord and get this out, because Jesus is coming. And he's not coming. No man knows the hour. No man knows the day. No man knows the time. I'm glad I'm not sitting up here saying there's gold dust on me, because Jesus is coming. I don't need gold dust to know that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming because his word said he's coming. Hallelujah. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The first and the last. I'm glad he's the first and the last. I'm glad that Jesus is alive and well and sits at the right hand of God the Father. If I want to read, don't turn there. Stay in Matthew. I'm going to turn to something very quickly. And I probably ain't going to preach. I'm probably just going to talk and teach. Because it's inevitable that we understand that Jesus is coming soon. I know you won't hear it talked about on the TV circuits so much. But I don't care. I'm going to proclaim it and declare it, because it's true. Jesus is coming. And he's coming back for a church that's without spot. And he's coming back for a church that's without wrinkle. And he's coming back for a church that has no blemish on it. And that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Acts 1:11 says this. Hallelujah. I'm going to start in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward them in wide heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus." I'm glad there's only one Jesus. I know there's a lot of other Jesuses out there, but there's only one true Jesus. "This same Jesus, which is taken up for you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, is a Sabbath day's journey. Turn with me, please, to Matthew 24. Because Jesus is coming. And I know this scripture is used a lot, but Jesus is coming. We don't know the time. We don't know the day. But as he went up, he's coming back, church. As he went up in glory, he's coming back in glory. As he went up in glory, he's coming back in glory. That's why God wants to move us in a close-knitness. There's been prophecies that when we love one another, we're going to see God's power and God's glory manifest in our behalf and in our midst. Amen? There's been utterances of the Spirit of God that says when we love one another, when this kind of brotherly love flows, we're going to see the manifest power and presence of God. And oh, the church needs the manifest power and presence of God. In the Old Testament, we see the story. He goes up and gets the Ten Commandments, and when he comes down, they've made another God out of isn't it amazing? God knew exactly what he was doing. They made another God out of gold and out of silver and out of apparel, and it's happened this same day. Men and women have made money their God, and money their idol, and money their source. And the day is going to come when money is not going to be their source. And money is not going to be able to deliver them. And money is not going to be able to save them. You're going to see ministries fall because they made money and mammon their God and their source and not Jesus Christ. I know it hasn't seen, and I know people look popular, but Jesus is coming. And he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. When he says something, you can take it to the bank. When people make money their God, and money their source, it's a horrible, horrible thing. And yet we see it all over the world today. You hear more about money than the coming of the Lord. You hear more about money than saving souls. You hear more about prosperity than the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not prosperity. The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, peace. That's the kingdom of God. And I've said all this to read this, because in this scripture, Jesus refutes and rebukes everything that's being taught on the prosperity gospel in this very chapter. God wants his people to prosper first spiritually. Thank you for the amen. What good does money do us if we're bound in our spirits? What good does money do us if we're bound in our spirits to whatever it might be? It does us no good. It does the church no good. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Oh, and there's another thing. We're so good about building our churches. Jesus refutes it right here. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And I know it was talking about the temple in the day of Jesus, but it's also talking about the temple of today. Because people want to raise money and have a big church to appear successful for man, in front of man. Let me tell you something. I'd rather appear successful before God than man any day. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came in unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Let me tell you something, church. We're in the most biblically illiterate Christian age that we've ever been in. I'm going to say it again, because I only had three holy murmurs and the rest were complaints. Don't call me illiterate, Brother Sean. Then get in your Bible and find out Jesus for yourself. Because I can't take you to heaven. You can't get to heaven on the shirt coat of your husband. You can't get to heaven on the shirt coat of your pastor. You must be born again. Your name must be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I said that because we're making a tape, not necessarily because there's sinners in the audience. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. Understand something. We've had some tremendous earthquakes over the last 3 years. Yes, it hasn't been in Florida. Yes, it hasn't been necessarily over on this side. But we've had some tremendous earthquakes. Because God does not lie. His word is true. He's coming very, very soon. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Oh, if we don't see that in today's society. It's a sad day in the church when we can't get people to come to church, but we can get them to come to church to watch the Super Bowl. That's the day that we live in, my brother and sister. They'll put up the big screen. They'll get people to file into the God's house. Oh, if Jesus was to come down, he'd kick over the television, he'd braid a whip, and he'd begin to swing it around, because that's the Jesus that we serve. We've made his house a den of thieves. We've made his house needs to be a house of prayer, not the den of thieves that the church has made it. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. That's no truer than when a God-forsaken, hell-bound man stands in a pulpit that owns pornographic buildings and preaches behind a pulpit and reads scripture out of a pulpit. If it wasn't for the grace of God, lightning would have struck Joe Redner when he was at Without Walls. I pity the leadership in that church. And I'm going to make a bold statement. Before PTL fell, they had Flint on PTL. God is not a man. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. Whatever a man sows. Brother Sean, you're being hard. No, I'm being truthful. God's love and God's long-suffering, not that any perish. That's why he hasn't come yet. But we live in a day where we haven't seen people drop dead like Ananias and Sapphira yet. But that day is coming. God is gracious. God is love. But he's also a man of his word. That's why if Brother Mike has bitterness towards somebody and he needs a healing, guess what? God's not obligated to heal him. But yet, we got ministers that still pray when we need to get... Jesus said the axe is laid to the root. And sometimes we need to get to the root of the problem. We need to get to the root of the matter. And if we get to the root of the matter, it's our old hard heart sometimes that keeps us from seeing the manifest presence of God. Keeps us from seeing the things that we long to see. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. See, this is an endurance race, my brother and sister. We got to endure. There are some things we're going to have to suffer for the gospel. There are some things we're going to have to suffer because we call ourselves Christians. They don't like Christians in America today. But we're still here. And one day they're going to wish we were still here. They don't wish we're still here right now. But when Jesus comes and gets his glorious church... When Jesus comes and gets us, they're going to wish we were still here. And this is the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. May I submit to you, because of television, the gospel can be preached to all the world. But what the whole world has seen is not the gospel. So therefore, that's why Jesus hasn't come back yet, because they haven't seen or heard the true gospel. But when they see the and hear the true gospel, then the end is going to come. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Why is it going to be a witness? Because Jesus is going to give everybody, everyone's going to have a chance to be born again. Jesus is going to call everybody to be saved, but it's up to that individual whether they want to accept that call and be saved. Do you agree? Is this not the word of God? Jesus is going to make that call. Jesus is going to draw, but it's up to the individual whether they accept that call or whether they answer that calling. It's no different than us. When Jesus called us, he drew us. We answered that call. Therefore, we were saved. If we'd not answered that call, we'd be lost and bound. But thank God we answered the call of God. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let him which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. Understand something. They thought that there was tribulation when God flooded the world, when God flooded the whole earth. I'm telling you something. What's about to happen to this planet when Jesus comes back for his church has never been seen before and never will again. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake. Those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets. Oh, we've got many false prophets today already. And that's all I'm going to say. That's a whole nother sermon. And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. I have people call me sometimes, Brother Sean, there's a great move of God over here at so-and-so church. And I just don't feel the unction to go. Why, Brother Sean? Because half the time it wasn't of God. And you've got to be led by the Spirit of God. I remember going to one meeting that somebody asked me to go to, and I went without my wife. Thank God I didn't take nobody with me. It was just me. I went. I walked in. I sat down. I wasn't there 5 minutes, and I left. True story. Why? Because I'm not putting up with foolishness. I've walked with Jesus long enough to know the real from the fake. I grew up in a church that has the real. So when the fake appears itself, I'm not impressed. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I'm telling you, when Jesus comes, it's going to be a quick thing. When Jesus comes, it's going to be a glorious thing. When Jesus comes, we ain't going to be here no more. I'm glad Jesus is coming soon. Because this old world's getting nasty, but we're going to endure until the end in Jesus' name. But Jesus is coming very, very soon. I don't know the time. I don't know the hour, but I can tell you based on his word, he's coming soon. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Oh, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heavens with power and great glory. Jesus ain't coming with no little. Remember when you grew up and you had that little tricycle and you had that little horn on the front of it and it went beep, 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 beep. Jesus ain't coming with one of those, believe you me. When he makes us shout, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive are going to be caught up in the air. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I said when the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. Because Jesus is coming soon. That's why I want to live right. That's why I want to get right. That's why if I've got anything in my life, I want Jesus to search me. Because I want to make it to heaven. Just because I come to church don't mean we make it to heaven. We have to endure to the end. There's going to be a lot of church folks not go to heaven. That's the sad thing. A lot of church folks that aren't going to heaven because their name's not in the book of life. It's on the roster of the church, but it's not in the book of life. There's a vast difference, my brothers and sisters. It's got to be in the book of life to make it into the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible says, make your calling and election sure. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because you've got to be sure. You've got to know that you know. Nobody told me I was saved when I got saved. When I got saved, oh, hallelujah, when I got saved, I ran home. I picked up the phone and called Brother Venable myself. Nobody told me to do that. I did it on my own because I was saved. I was changed. I asked Jesus to come into my life. Oh, this mamby pamby salvations that we see don't represent the kingdom of God in the God that I serve. Because the God that I serve, when He saves you, He changes you from the inside out. Old things pass away and all things, behold, become new. I don't know this salvation where you're still smoking cigarettes for 6 months or you're still addicted to crack for 6 months. That's not the God that I serve, nor the Jesus that I serve. The Jesus that I serve, when He set you free, you are free indeed according to the Word of God. Free indeed. And when you're free, you don't have a need for those things. When God sets you free, you're free. I said, when God sets you free, you're free. The church, and I'm going to be a little bit critical, but I have to be. The church has replaced God with man's ingenuities and man's technologies. And we see little of God because of this and more of man. And if the church would get back to having a lot of God, we'd see a lot more demonstration of God's Spirit and power. I don't want programs. I'm not saying we can't have a Sunday school department. That's not what I'm saying. I want a Sunday school department that's full of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because why is it that the children in Africa can sing the praises of God at 9 and 10 years old? Because they haven't been westernized and modernized. They just have Jesus. And if us parents would live the kind of life that represent Jesus. And guess what? I've been guilty myself. I've gone to all my children and said, you know what? Daddy hasn't represented Jesus to you. Daddy's gotten angry in front of you. Daddy said some things I shouldn't have said in front of you. And I'm going to tell you something right now, my brother and sister. That takes a man or woman of God. And I still have to go to them from time to time. When I get tired and they want to get mouthy and I get upset. I know none of you fathers in here have ever gotten upset. Or mothers. When you've been overtired and they've been mouthy. I know none of y'all have ever gotten upset. But you know what I'm asking the Lord? I'm asking the Lord to change that in me. And I now get up off the couch and I walk outside and I walk out to the horses and I just begin to pet the horses. Because I know that if I don't, I'm going to say or do something that I'm going to regret. Because I know me. There's another me. See, and it's not always Jesus-like. And I want it to be. I don't hide nothing. Everybody knows any pray for my temper. Everybody knows I got one. I don't hide it. But God is working and God is moving. I was sitting at home the other day and I want to brag on Jesus because we're praying for souls and we're praying for our children and we're praying for our loved ones. I had just gotten home from work. I just sat down with everybody knows I drink cherry Coke. I just sat down with a glass of cherry Coke and Alex walks in and sits down on the couch. Now you got to understand something about teenagers. They just don't do that. They just don't come and sit down and hang out with mom and dad. That's just not in their character. I looked at him. I said, son, what do you want? Because normally if they do that, they want something, money or, hey, dad, can I use the car or the truck and go somewhere? And I said, what do you want, son? He goes, no, nothing, dad. I just want to sit here. I said, oh, okay. That's okay. He goes, dad, I want to ask you something. I said, what? And he began to ask me something about the Bible and something about the scriptures. And I've been praying for him, hard. And I said, and I began to talk to him about Jesus, and I begin to talk to him about what the scripture said, because he's got these friends that all they study is the Illuminati, and I kind of laugh, because the enemy will try everything he can, but it cannot take away from the truth. And so as he began to ask questions, I could tell he was getting convicted, and I just let if he would ask a question, I would just answer the question. I wouldn't say another word. Because I've learned that sometimes we try to be the Holy Spirit. And we need to let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. Because he'll do a much better job than we will. Much better job. So he asked me some questions, and I don't know, it was in there for about 10 minutes. And I went in the bedroom. I walked in the bedroom. I had tears in my eyes. I had to go, what's wrong with you? I says, honey. I said, I'm telling you, God's doing something in our son. I'm telling you. He's very, very fearful. And a lot of us, because he's been reading a lot on the Illuminati, and they took out this person and that. And I'm like, son, that's all a bunch of hogwash. They might have taken somebody out, but when you're a child of God, son, it doesn't matter. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So he deals with fear somewhat, and it's hard to believe that a 5'11" strong young man would have a problem with fear. The other night he was sitting in his bedroom and he called us on our cell phone. And, Mom, can you and Dad come in here? There's somebody outside my window. And it was the horse. And I started laughing. I said, son. Now, he wouldn't admit it. He wouldn't admit it because that's not how teenagers are. But he wouldn't admit it. But I said, son. I walked outside the front door, you know, because that's what dads should do. They should make sure their house is okay. I said, son, first of all, we got five dogs. Five dogs that would be barking if there was somebody outside in the yard. I said, second of all, we have horses. So I said, son, it was a horse. Oh, okay. All right. I said, this was about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. I said, well, son, we're going back to bed. And I went in the bedroom and I laid on the bed and I started, Heather goes, what are you laughing at? I says, honey, I said, God's doing something. God's going to bring Alex to an end of himself because he's fearful. I said, it kind of makes me have a flashback to when I was backslidden. I'm being serious because when I was backslidden, I didn't want to look at my mom and dad when they were at the house. I got away as far away from them as I could. But there was one day I stayed in my bedroom. One day in particular. And Ditter came in her old redneck four-wheel drive red truck to come pick up my mom for church. And I didn't tell them I was going. God had already been dealing with me. I remember one night in particular that I'm telling, that's why I want to live for Jesus, because God is real, but so is the enemy. And the enemy plays for keeps. He's not coming to steal our children, he's coming to kill our children. That's why we must fight. That's why it's time for the church to get violent and take it by force. But I was telling her, I said, honey, I remember when God was dealing with me, and I stayed in my bedroom all day on a Wednesday in particular. Ditter came to pick up mom, and Mom went to get in the truck, and I waited until Mom opened the door and was getting in, and I ran out there. I said, all right, scoot over. And they looked at me like a calf at a new gate, like I had two heads, because they're like, what? He's coming to church? And I went to church. Thank God I did, because ain't no telling where I'd be if I hadn't. I'm being honest. I would have been bound on something. I might have even been in jail. Honest to God's truth. Because the road I was headed down was not a good one. I remember being at a party and all my friends left me. And I had to walk from Tampa to Land O'Lakes. Why didn't you call your mom and dad? Because I was drunk. I wasn't calling mom and dad. I'm being honest. So I walked home. But it's amazing how God sets things up. Because as I begin to walk home, I begin to have flashbacks of the church. Out of nowhere came flashbacks from the church. And people laughing and this going on and that going on. And I'm like, I really don't want to be thinking about this kind of stuff right now. And so when I walked home and got in the door, of course, Mom was praying, interceding, praying I'd make it home all right. And I walk in the house, Mom, go to bed, leave me alone. My exact words were, Mom, go to bed, leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you, just go to bed. I'm home now, go to bed. Thank God I had a praying mom that didn't let the enemy win. But I was laying in bed one particular night. I had an entity try to choke me. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Believe you me, all I could get was Jesus. And as soon as I said Jesus like that, whatever was in my room was gone. And I don't know, that might have been Friday or Saturday. It might have even been Sunday. But the following Wednesday was my birthday. I went to church. And that's when I gave my life to Jesus in Shoney's parking lot because good old Nana prayed for me. I didn't want her to. At least I didn't think I wanted her to, but thank God she did and didn't listen to me because I got saved. She started praying for me. I'm like, all right. I had a lollipop in my mouth. I'm like, go ahead. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Just pray. It ain't going to work. Y'all know how us sinners do when we're backslidden. It ain't going to work. That's why there's hope for our kids. That's why there's hope for America, because if we pray and we humble ourselves, God will sovereignly move. God cannot move unless we pray. We're the water faucet that turns God on. You know how water faucet, you got to turn it on? We're the water faucet that turns God's hands loose. All of us. And then shall appear. I'm going to read this. We got to finish this. Y'all got to get home. Y'all pray for me because I got to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, but God is good. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. I'm telling you, Christ's coming is at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There's going to be two in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. That's going to be a horrific thing if you think about it. To know that you had a chance to be saved. To know there's a Christian working next to you. And the next thing you know, they're gone. Nobody came and took them, but all of a sudden they disappeared. That's going to call, you want to talk about a panic-stricken world? You're going to see a panic-stricken world when Jesus comes back. They're not going to know what to do when cars all over the interstate erupt and people disappear because the coming of the Lord happened. Well, they're going to realize that God is not mocked. They're going to realize that when God says something, it comes to pass. They're going to realize that this Jesus that they didn't want, this God that they kicked out of schools, this God that they kicked out of universities, He's for real. And is the very God that they need. It's the very God that church needs today. There's some churches that don't even allow God in their house. Come on. They don't even sing about the blood no more. They don't even talk about the virgin birth. Oh, but they have church. They proselyte one to make them twice the child of hell. But God's not in the building. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. See, we need to be looking and hastening for the coming of the Lord, my brother and sister. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his house, hold to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Oh, that's just like the church world today. All they talk about is eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Where can I go next on vacation? We're so entertained these days. We don't know that Jesus is coming back very, very soon. There's too much world in the church. And not enough Lord in the hearts. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. I'm going to make a bold statement, because I grew up in church, and for many years I've heard the statement, oh, there's nothing wrong with a little wine. There's nothing wrong with one glass of wine. Understand this. Then why does the book of Proverbs say, wine taketh away the heart? I said, your Bible says in Proverbs, wine taketh away the heart. And I'm going to tell you something. I've dealt with too many alcoholics in my own personal family, in my own personal life, not to want to touch the stuff. Christians have no business drinking alcoholic beverages. I'm going to be bold about it. I'm going to be bold about it. Why? Because Jesus is worth. I said Jesus is worth being bold about something. Jesus should have enough value not to want to touch the stuff. Well, Brother Sean, he turned water into wine. Then go get you a Greek Bible. Go get you a Bible. Go look it up in the Greek. If you want to talk Bible to me, if you want to talk doctrine to me, it was the fruit of the vine. It was the pure grape juice that Jesus turned the water into. It was not fermented. Jesus would not do that because he's pure and holy and righteous. And he would not do that, my brother and sister. Wine taketh away the heart. Wine is a mockery according to the word of God. It says in Proverbs that wine taketh away a heart. And I believe it says in Hosea or Amos that wine is a mockery. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. Oh, that day is coming. I said that day is coming. There's people not looking for Jesus. They go to church every Sunday. They're in the choir. They're in this. They're in that club. There's many young people. They're not looking for Jesus, but he's coming. The church isn't looking for Jesus, my brother and sister, but he's still coming. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Understand something, my brother and sister. There's a day coming. There's a day coming. God knows His children. God knows them that are His. And everybody that wants to use that scripture, yo, God, you will not pluck me out of your hand. They will not pluck you out of my hand. We're going to find out who's really in God's hands. We're going to find out whose name's really in the Lamb's Book of Lives. For years, when we would go witnessing, we would come across people that would always say, well, I believe. I believe. That's good. The devils believe, and they fear and tremble. I want to meet some Christians, some authentic Christians that want to live for Jesus, that want to get right, want to live right, want to walk right for Jesus' sake. Because Jesus is coming, and He's not coming back for a church that's got one foot in the world. He's coming back for a church that's on fire. He's coming back for a church that's stirred. He's coming back for a church that's fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. But Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. It's time that the church make the crooked path straight. It's time that the Christians make their crooked path straight. Because He's coming. He's coming. I got to read this. Then shall the, in chapter 25, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. We got churches and ministers that take no oil with them. I said they take no oil with them. They take their fame, they take their popularity, but they take no oil with them. They don't take the Spirit of Almighty God with them to see a change in the heart. It makes no... I don't care if somebody gets healed in one of my meetings. I want to see a change in the heart. Because that's what really matters, is somebody's heart being changed. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. Give us of your oil. Oh, it's really, really, that's why. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Why do you think so many people go to this meeting and that meeting and that meeting? Because they don't have any oil of their own. They don't know God for themselves. The only time they sense God or recognize God is in a church building. I told my wife when we first got married, I said, honey, I want our home to be no different than church. I want God's presence to be welcome there. Why? Because God's omnipresent. And I don't want to just live a facade. I don't want to be one way at church and one way at home. Thank you for the hearty amen. And I meant what I said. And I'm going to tell you something. It's been an all-out, all-inclusive, all-out battle against my enemy and against my adversaries. But I'm going to tell you something. God is still good. God is still great. But we see people go here and go to Tulsa and go to Kentucky and go everywhere because they don't have any oil of their own. Because they haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you for the amen. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's get down to the truth. You can't receive the Holy Ghost because you go to a meeting and people gather around you in a circle and start praying in tongues and say, mimic me. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's not the Holy Ghost that I serve. That's not the Holy Ghost that baptized me with the Holy Ghost and fire. My wife was disappointed, and I had to take my wife in the Word of God when she first got saved, because she took one of her friends to a meeting. You know what? I'm just going to say it because I got nothing to lose. She took somebody to a Joyce Meyer meeting, and this woman got saved, and they went into a back room, and they gathered around her in a circle, and they said, repeat after me, and they began to speak in tongues. And I said, honey, it's a good thing I couldn't go back there with you, because I'd have snatched your friend and we'd have left. Why? Because I'd have laid hands on her and she'd have received the Holy Ghost. Because that's the God that we serve. Brother Sean, are you making fun of being critical? I'm only being critical to the fact that we don't need to circle around people for them to get the Holy Ghost. There are two ways you can receive the Holy Ghost. One is by the laying on of hands, and the other is by breath, by blowing on somebody. And that's what Jesus did. I'm all for people getting saved. I'm all for people getting the Holy Ghost. But when you get it for real, you don't need to mimic somebody. You're not a parrot. When it comes out of your belly like a river. And you can't contain it or control it. And it gets a hold of your tongue. But the wise answer is saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And I want to stop right there, because there's coming a day where the grace door is going to be shut. There's going to be coming a day where God doesn't always strive with man. God doesn't always strive with man. God is long-suffering, not willing that any perish. But God's Spirit does not always strive with man. He does not always strive with man, my brother and sister. God does not always strive with man. There was a time one of my uncles were backslidden and wanted God to draw him. And the Spirit of God did not draw him. That's up to God, who He chooses to draw and who He chooses not to draw. It ain't up to us. We can pray and we can enhance that, but it's up to the Spirit of God to do the drawing. He's the convicted. That's right, Sister Ruth, not us. So many times, I think in this place, we've tried to be the Holy Spirit and we've tried to convict people. And I don't want to try to convict nobody. I'm not the Holy Ghost. I'm finally learning that. It took a lot of years, but guess what? I'm not the Holy Ghost. There's only one Holy Ghost, and we ain't Him. Believe me, when the Holy Ghost convicts us, He convicts us. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of us and convicts us, He convicts us. Would y'all please stand to your feet? God is... Man, I tell you what, we could have went home after the song service. But I think the Lord wanted to encourage us with His coming soon, because He is coming soon. And we need to be watching and we need to be looking for the coming of the Lord. Because He's coming, my brother and sister. He's coming. Let the mockers mock. Jesus is coming. Let the scoffers scoff. Jesus is still coming. It doesn't matter what the mockers say or the scoffers say. His word says He's coming. He's coming. Doug, give us a worship song to go home on. I hope y'all were blessed by the service tonight, because I was wowed by the Spirit of God. I said that I was telling the Lord, thank you, Lord, for showing up the way you did, because God showed up wonderfully. God showed up and showed out. I'm glad that we're in a church where God can move, where God can touch, where God can heal and God can deliver. And we can intercede for the lost.